to have fellowship with you this morning and tonight. I want to commend our folks for being here. I do. You are a magnificent group of people to be here today and tonight, and we'll get the rest of them next Sunday. I want to brag on you a little bit. Now, we continue our study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Tonight I want us to examine the gift of prophecy. I want to read to you some of the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians 12, and let's begin with verse 7, just to get some of the context here, though we'll only talk about one of these gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. For years, Jean Dixon of Washington has been making predictions. I suppose she's best noted for foretelling the assassination of President John Kennedy and of attempting to warn him not to make the trip to Dallas, in which he was killed. In addition to that most well-known prediction by Jean Dixon, she also predicted, with accuracy, the airplane death of United Nations Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld. She predicted the communist takeover of China. He also predicted the heart attack and recovery by President Eisenhower during the time he was in the White House. However, we need to keep in mind that Ms. Dixon has made numerous predictions which have not come true. Such as, she predicted that World War III would break out in 1958, and of course, that didn't happen. She predicted that Richard Nixon would defeat John Kennedy for the presidency in 1960, and that didn't happen. She predicted that in 1959, Red China would be admitted to the United Nations. And that did happen, but not in 1959, so she was wrong. Is Jean Dixon an example of what is meant by one who has the spiritual gift of prophecy? And if not, then just what is this particular spiritual gift which goes by the name of prophecy? Well, in order to understand this, we need to go to both the Old and the New Testaments to let the Bible speak for itself. In the Bible, a prophet was God's spokesman, or God's mouthpiece. A prophet proclaimed the words that God wanted heard. The message spoken by the prophet was of a twofold nature, as we shall see tonight. It included both foretelling and forthtelling. That is, the prophet's message involved both prediction and proclamation. And I want us to examine both of these aspects of the ministry of the prophet, both prediction and proclamation. Now, before we do that, I want to say to you that of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I've tried to understand and interpret, I've had more trouble at this particular one than any of the others. I just have a real struggle in my own mind to come to some definite convictions about what this particular gift is. Some of you think will say that what I call the gift. Well, that's bad, isn't it? My tongue's so tangled up I can't speak. Some of you think that prophecy is what I call the word of knowledge. Okay, now, you don't know what the word of knowledge is from my interpretation because we haven't arrived at that gift yet, but. For what some have interpreted as the gift of prophecy, I believe that to be the word of knowledge. And so, if what I say tonight doesn't fit in with your concept of what you think prophecy is, come back and hear me preach on the word of knowledge, and I think you'll find out that I believe what you believe, I just have a different name for it. Now, with that in mind, just remember the word of knowledge relates closely to prophecy. And I have discovered a wide diversity of opinion among the scholars and the commentators that I've read. And we're talking about the same ministries, but we're putting different names on it. So, if this message tonight doesn't answer all your questions, I'm sorry, this is This is the best I can do, and I have some questions about it too. Well, let's look at this gift of prophecy, and let's first consider the aspect of prediction. One aspect of the prophet's ministry was to give a message from God about a future event. In the Old Testament, if the people of God wanted to know whether or not a prophet should be accepted as genuine, they were told to predict, they were told to test the prophet's predictions to see whether or not they came true. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Remember that Deuteronomy is over there near the front. One of the books that Moses wrote. And chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. Prophets were chosen by God in Old Testament times. Of course, Moses was a prophet. And there had to be some sort of guideline to determine whether or not these prophets were false or true. And this is the test. Deuteronomy 18:21, you may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has been spoken by the Lord? If what the prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. So the method by which the people were to test the prophet was to see whether or not his prediction came true. Therefore, anyone who claimed to be a prophet in the Old Testament sense of the word must be 100% accurate in his prediction. 99.9% accurate was not good enough. He had to hit every one. Now, if we know that, that automatically precludes Gene Dixon. If he or she felt at any point the people were to conclude that the prophecy and the prophet did not come from the Lord. The prophets of the Old Testament, from Moses to Malachi, were used of God to tell the Hebrew people and sometimes other nations of that which God said would come to pass in the future. And these prophets were always correct. Now, an indication of the ministry of prediction in the New Testament is found in Acts 11, and I want you to turn there, if you will. The 11th chapter of Acts, verse 27 and 28. Well, Acts 11, 27 says, during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Notice that they are called prophets. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted. Notice that his prediction was done through the Spirit. And this is his prediction, that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. Now, this happened during the reign of Claudius. He made a prediction about a famine. The prediction came to pass. Now, Agabus appears again in the book of Acts when he warned the Apostle Paul of persecution if he continued on his journey to Jerusalem. Agabus took Paul's belt, and he tied his hands and his feet, and he said this to Paul, the Holy Spirit says, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles. And Agabus' prediction came true. And so we know of at least two predictions that Agabus made that did come to pass. Now, though the predictive element is foremost in both of Agabus' prophecies, most of the references to New Testament prophets do not stress or they do not even mention the futuristic message. So while prediction is a part of the ministry of the prophet, the second aspect of the prophet's ministry was proclamation, particularly the proclamation of the revelation of God. This is the ministry of forth-telling or telling forth the message of the living God as it relates to the current situation in which people find themselves. This was the major role of the prophet in both the Old and the New Testament. The ministry of forth-telling had a greater emphasis and a greater place of importance than the ministry of prediction in both the Old and New Testaments. The prophet is one who proclaims God's word, and it should always be the prophet's concern that as he speaks, God will take his words and apply them to the particular needs of the people who are listening. Therefore, I think we can say that the prophet is someone who publicly proclaims God's message to the assembled congregation within the framework of the biblical revelation. In other words, he's the preacher of the Scripture, whether for the strengthening of the saved or for the conversion of the unsaved. Empowered by the Holy Spirit for his high and holy task, the prophet seeks the aid of the Holy Spirit in his choice of scriptural passages to expound, and he prays that the Holy Spirit might accompany his words and make them to be a revelation to the people who hear. Now, we must not forget that the basis for a prophet's message today is this book, the Bible, and only this book. God's revelation is complete in the Bible. This is God's last word. It's complete. It's finished. It is our all-sufficient guide. And until the writer of the New Testament was complete, prophets in New Testament times gave special revelation. However, since the completion of the Bible in which God's written revelation is found for us once and all in finished form, the gift of prophecy closely relates and must be based on God's Word. Not only must it be based on God's Word, but it must agree with God's Word. If somebody comes in and says, I'm a prophet, and they want to give a prophecy which goes contrary to what's in this book, we can rest assured that neither the prophet nor the prophecy are of God. The Apostle Paul warns every Christian in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And then he goes on to give a reason why we ought to test the spirit. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. A. H. Strong, a noted Baptist theologian of another generation, wrote these words, the church is a prophetic institution established to teach the world by its preaching ordinances. But Christians are prophets only as being proclaimers of Christ's teaching. All modern prophecy that is true is merely the republication of the message of Jesus Christ, the proclamation and the expounding of truth already revealed in Scripture. So the gift of prophecy makes the Word of God relevant to a particular situation. Prophets are God's loudspeakers to relate the will of God to such areas as politics, education, family life, science, materialism, and on and on and on we might go. Prophecy applies the never-changing Scripture to the ever-changing scene in which we live. In conclusion, I want to simply say, too, that prophecy ranks high on the list of gifts because it's found in every list. It's found in Romans, in Ephesians, and in Corinthians. The Apostle Paul devotes a complete chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, to the superiority of prophecy over tongues. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:1 that those of us who are Christians should eagerly desire spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of prophecy. Prophecy appears to be one of the more widely distributed gifts. Many people who do not hold the office of a prophet have the gift of a prophet. And you may be in that number. And if so, I say to you what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Rome, if a man's gift be prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Prophecy. A very vital and necessary gift in the life of the church. And if you have it, the Scripture says use it, exercise it, in proportion to the faith that God has given you. Now, I want to pause at this time and say to you that we're the family. And I want to give you an opportunity to share what the Lord's been doing in your life. We did this last Sunday, and I want to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. If you don't have anything to share, then you don't have to share. I don't want you to make anything up. But if something happened to you, I want to give you occasion to stand up and brag on Jesus. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And as we share our victories together, we all are edified and built up in faith. And as we share our common concerns and our burdens, and as we take them to the Lord together, we are strengthened and encouraged to keep walking with Jesus. And so whether you have a victory to share that we can rejoice in, or a burden to share that we might bear with you, I want to give you opportunity to do that. So the door is open, and I invite you to share if the Lord so leads. Who would like to do that? I want you to have opportunity to do that if you so desire. I don't want to put you on the spot now, but I want you to have opportunity. I hope that your silence is not an indication that Jesus has not done anything in your life. I hope that's not it. Jack, I'm sorry, Noah. I saw a hand, but I saw Jack say. You hear it? For the knowledge of the will of God about which seminary to attend. Okay, let's bow together and take our brother Noah to the Lord. Somebody lead our prayers. You feel impressed by the Spirit. Anybody else have a burden you want to bear? Someone else to bear with you? That's a good word. You mothers and fathers ought to be proud of that. I saw him back in here somewhere. Yes, ma'am. Can you speak a little louder? Trying to say that. Somebody else? Anybody? Speak loudly. Thank you, brother, for the testimony and also for the exhortation that you gave. And the father's name, John Tatter. Okay. Somebody pray for the conversion of our brother's father. Somebody else? What's his first name? Steve? Yeah. Pray for Steve, for the Lord to work in his life. To make him like Jesus. Somebody lead our prayer. Good to have these words from people who are in the family, but not in this particular part of it. We're glad to have you work with me. Albert. You hear that? Jib, healing. Somebody who knows Jib. Voice I pray for. Alright? Somebody that knows him.
Long of every one of you. May you know that you are the Son of God.
Amen. Thank you. Somebody else? I hear. Oh. Thank you for reminding me. I'm glad somebody did that, and I'm glad that you did it. Margie Campbell's mother is still very critical, isn't she, darling? Particularly a bonfire, gratefully come here, darling. Bless her father. And let's lift not only her mother, but Margie and all of her family to the Lord and pray for the It's the same in grace of the Spirit that just ministered to them during this time. Would you pray that together with us and all of us just join our spirits together and our voice our prayer. Father, we thank you that we can bow in Jesus' name to intercede in behalf of others. Father, we lift unto you Margie's mother, and we pray that you might be healing and strength unto her, that your presence and your spirit might be manifest in her life. We pray for Margie and her family members that they might experience the peace of God that passes all understanding, that they might be sustained by your grace and encouraged by your spirit during these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody else? I love you. Give me after service, and I'll tell you somebody that I want you to invite to the farmers. Okay, somebody voice our prayer. Would you? Amen. Thank you, John. Somebody else? Yeah. Loud. It's like the strings have been cut, Gail. Thank you. Somebody else have an answer prayer? Thank you, Ruth. Okay, thank you, brother, for your prayer. You're speaking about old and all. I don't know Brother Olin, but I know who he is, and the thing that I remember about him was he's a man of strong conviction. And he was not timid in any way about expressing those convictions on the floor of the state convention. And I've always had great admiration. I don't mean that negatively. I mean it real positively, in a good spirit. He thought through what he was doing and what he believed, and then he stood up for what he believed was right. So let's pray for Olin Nall's family. He was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Alabama. Now going to be with the Lord. I think he was about 4 to 5. Somebody pray for that family and pray that God's man will assume the pastor of that church. Amen. Thank you, Samson. Somebody else? Can you speak a little bit louder? Deal. Tell him. Okay, we'll sure list these three, Gil and Helen. They might, shall I say, love Jesus with all their heart, walk in intimate fellowship with me. Let's bow and pray for these three. Someone, for my friend. Thank you.